Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, Fred, I like that guy Christian Twist that we hooked up with in the last hour. He was kind of a new person that I discovered, but I liked
him. He was really good.
Quite a bit. Yeah, so his website's interesting, and I think I found that on Real Clear. I can never remember. You know, I go through so many things in the morning, and then I send you some things, and I put some things in my reading list, and I go back and I check those out. So I thought he was great. Now, you know, it's applicable here this afternoon in real time because I'm, you guys know I always do things that I shouldn't do, and I'm kind of going back and forth with, I'll still call him a friend, Scott Charton, formerly of the Associated Press. I worked with Scott many years ago, I mean like decades ago, and he was the chief AP reporter in Jefferson City. And we've explained the AP before, yeah. So I never know if people really understands what it is. You have people who worked for the Associated Press, but the way that the stories work is, let's say Columbia is a good example because, you know, it's a smaller market. Let's say that there's a murder or some sort of scandal at the university or something like that. Well, not every newspaper in the country would have a reporter available to cover that story.
Right.
So they would share the information from maybe the Columbia Daily Tribune, and they would give it to the Associated Press, and the Associated Press would then file a story based on, you know,
that
account.
Description.
And people pay for that. So like radio stations and newspapers and news outlets, they have to pay for the content from the Associated Press because it's an easier way to get the news. Now, I would say that that's a little outdated, the model, based on what we have with social media, because things happen so fast. You're getting stories that you can find on Twitter and on Facebook,
right,
and TikTok. You know, you didn't used to be able to do that. But Scott was with the AP, and he puts this post up about, you know, this media offender of the week. We talked about this with Curtis Houck yesterday. And the Poynter Institute, they're a journalism organization, like journalism with a capital J. They're very important people. They're smarter than everyone else. So they put out a post that says President Trump has a history of name-calling reporters and labeling organizations fake news. His latest move is a White House webpage launched last week to name and shame media with disagreeable stories. The page headline, "Misleading Bias to Expose," features a media offender of the week. So I chimed in. I was the first person to chime in on that post. And I said, the biggest challenge here is narrowing to just one. I mean, that's just unfair. So Scott's response to me was, wow. And I said, you know, I had to explain it. I get, like, how would you choose today? Would you start with calling out the Washington Post? But that's kind of a layup since the New York Times already did that on this whole Venezuelan story. They already told everyone that the Washington Post story was BS, right? So I don't have to do that. The New York Times did my job for me. So that would kind of be cheating. So I think it's a tough job doing this, you know, and doing it other than hourly. I mean, I don't know how you pick one story a week to put up on that White House website, Fred. You'd have to do it on an hourly basis. So Scott's response to me was, you're fine with the president of the United States using ugly juvenile slurs to reporters. Wow. And I said this, yeah, why not? Because you're fine with a legacy media constantly, constantly lying about the guy. Covington Catholic. That was just about those kids. Kavanaugh hearings. Russian collusion. Everything. list after list, everything they lie about, right? We just talked about a bunch of the things. The White House renovation, this thing with Pete Hegseth, everything. And it gets debunked, but then nobody pays attention to the debunking. So I said this, you're so Trump deranged that you fall for every one of them. All these hoaxes. Get help. Perhaps focus on what your former profession, and mine, by the way, has turned into. And don't take my word for it. This is what I say all the time. Read Yuri Berliner from NPR and what he wrote a couple years ago. Look into this BBC scandal, right? You don't have to take my word or a conservative's word for it. It's all been vindicated. We were right about all this. You know, read David Zweig's book about COVID and how many lies were told and what journalism, with a capital J, did to this freaking country and these kids. The journalists are the ones that bear culpability. These idiots at the Post-Dispatch that do a story about people going to the Lake of the Ozarks and they come back and they didn't have masks on at that bar and the Post makes it a big deal and like, oh my God, all these evil people, they were outside at the Lake of the Ozarks and now they're coming back to St. Louis. And Lida Crewson, one of the most embarrassing mayors that we've ever had in the city of St. Louis, whose own husband was killed by a murderer who didn't want to stand up and take a stance against crime. She goes out there as the mayor of St. Louis and warns people that if you were at the Lake of the Ozarks and you came back here, we're going to keep an eye on you and you better damn well mask up. Think about all these things. By the way, I'm barely scratching the surface on all the crap that they spread on a regular basis. So I take nothing from a former reporter like Scott Charton, who I do consider a friend, and we've known each other for a long time. But I'm willing to take a step back and say, okay, and I did this in the last hour, are there legitimate questions to be asked about Venezuelan survivors of a gunboat attack, a drug boat attack by the U.S. military? Should we take a look at whether or not something happened here that was not legal, that was perhaps a war crime? Sure. Okay. I'm open in all of these situations to say, yeah, there are important questions. I called out Trump on the Jimmy Kimmel stuff with Brendan Carr in particular. I hated that. I hated that the FCC threats were there, right? But I'm willing to say, okay, you guys have your story here. Let's see what the truth is, right? But you're never, ever willing, never willing to say, well, the Washington Post made that crap up, or the Washington Post was wrong, or CBS News was wrong, or Bill Whitaker was wrong when he came to St. Louis and portrayed St. Louis as a bunch of racists because Kim Gardner, who was doing a crappy job and letting criminals go free on a regular basis, but she pulls the race card and Bill Whitaker plays completely into it. And the esteemed CBS 60 Minutes, who all these journalists with a capital J don't want touched by Barry Weiss, they want to stand up for all that important reporting that they do when they lie to people on a regular basis. And I mentioned this story about Poly Markets that was on a couple of nights ago. Really interesting. Anderson Cooper, I was drawn in, but I can't watch that show and I can't watch CNN and I can't watch CBS This Morning or the Today Show or any of these. And Fox has their own issues, right? But I can't watch them and trust them for a moment on the information that they spread because they lie willingly and they are Trump deranged. So, yeah, I'm willing to have the president, and I didn't used to be like this, Fred, call people a couple of bad names because they're ridiculous in their responses.
And they never come. When you talked about 60 Minutes, I thought they never sent them back to say,
of course not.
You know what? Gosh, we were wrong. Here's some more facts.
I've invited them.
Yeah.
I've invited Mr. Whitaker multiple times on Twitter. And Jeff Pegues, that idiot, who was also a CBS correspondent, who got rid of his social media because he was an embarrassment. But he's another one that came here. He did the same thing. And I offered Mr. Pegues. I said, Jeff, do not take my word for it. I will give you Democrats. Hell, I'll give you black Democrats in the city of St. Louis that think that Kim Gardner is an embarrassment, shouldn't have a law license, and shouldn't certainly be the prosecutor of the city of St. Louis. How about doing a story about this? Come back in, see what Gabe Gore has done. And now the police now have confidence in arresting people. And then we have a mayor that doesn't make things all about Hamas or, I mean, I have to criticize her for the whole trans awareness thing. Is the trans flag still up at City Hall?
I don't
know. Because November's over. I mean, we do need more trans awareness. I got to give care of that. If there's one group of people out there who have not had enough awareness, it's trans people. So we need more trans awareness.
But yeah, that they just don't come back. And the victims' families that had their loved ones murdered, that no regard for that.
No. So I'm done with... This is why... And it's weird because I was... Not unlike Pete Hegseth, or not unlike, I guess I would say, J.D. Vance, pretty hefty critic of the president in his first administration, Fred. I think you would admit that, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of all the irresponsible reporting. I mean, the guy answers questions on a regular basis like he did today, and they don't want to do their jobs. They want to, like Christian said in the last hour, it's all about Orange Man Bad. That's the only card they have. It's the only damn card they have.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Fred, before you went on your vacation last week, you and I were talking about, and you were ahead of me watching the documentary, the Ken Burns documentary, Six Parts, The American Revolution.
Yeah,
Have you finished?
I don't. I have the last part to do.
So I wrapped it up on Sunday, and I want to trust the information. I thought it was really interesting, but I also know how woke Ken Burns is. And there's a guy by the name of Adam Rowe. Adam is an assistant professor of history at the New College of Florida who wrote about the documentary, and he called it the incoherence of Ken Burns' film. So we're going to get his take and his opinion on this at 4:32 after we do Sue's News, which is now, again, brought to you by Sue.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Hey, it's National Mutt Day. Isn't that nice? Aww. And it's National Fritters Day. I'll tell you what, a couple years ago, maybe 15. Okay, that's more than a couple. Michael and I made some apple fritters. And I thought, you know what? Let's try this. We ate every single one of them.
So
I will never make those again.
It's kind of like a fried thing?
Yeah, it's like a fried dough, and it's so good that it's too dangerous to make.
Oh, they look really good.
Oh, they're so good, Ethan. But just a warning, if you're going to make them, you're going to eat them all.
What is that glazing that they put on it? Is
well,
that just like an icing?
Sugar glaze.
Okay.
Gosh. It's just a little bit of milk. And
dangerous. Keep
sugar.
Those away from me.
Yeah, they're evil delicious. Just a thought.
I'm a fan.
No are
doubt.
You?
Yeah.
All right.
What was that first day? You kind of glossed over something.
Well, I did.
What was the first one?
Mutt. National Mutt Day.
Look, I support that. My dogs are basically mutts.
Yes.
And, you know, I've had one. My lab was purebred, and that was given to us by my friend in Columbia. But mutts are awesome.
Yeah, they are.
By the way, mutts have fewer health problems than purebred dogs, I think, too.
Okay.
I think they do sometimes.
We have an odd assortment of music today. And we'll start with this one. On this day in history, 53 years ago, that makes it 1972, The Temptations hit number one with this song.
Sorry, I was a little confused because I have it. It's in here twice. Is it the same thing twice?
Yeah, I don't know why it's in there twice.
I don't either.
Bonus.
Yeah, bonus.
This thing has the longest intro. It's like 3 minutes and 50 seconds. So I'm listening to this whole thing this morning. It's going to.
Oh, yeah. The version of the song that he puts in here is 7 minutes and 54 seconds.
Yes.
That's the short version.
Yeah. I had to cut off 3 minutes and 50 seconds. All right. So this is number one in 1972. Then in 1978. Just 6 years later, it's Neil Diamond and Barbara Streisand who hit number one on this day in history.
You know, as much as I hate Babs,
right?
I love this song. This was a really, really good song back then.
You don't bring me flowers.
Was this one number one?
Yes.
A little depressing.
You don't sing me love songs.
You know, it's just a good even. Old-fashioned ballad love song.
Don't talk to me anymore.
Have you not heard this either?
When I come through the door at the end of the day.
Well, that is magical Neil Diamond song right there. It really is. It's good stuff.
I find myself singing that if something, you know, if, I don't know, if my brother does something that annoys me, if someone, you don't bring me flowers. Yes.
And again, I sent a message to a guy by the name of Greg Koz today. I'm so excited about this Neil Diamond movie that's coming out. If you've seen the trailer, it's not about Neil. It's about a duo in Milwaukee that I used to interview on a regular basis called Lightning and Thunder. They were a Neil Diamond tribute act. And this guy, Greg Koz, did a movie, a documentary about them in 2011 called Song Sun Blue. And that's what the new movie with Hugh Jackman, who's been in Milwaukee this week during press, he stars as Lightning.
Oh, that's going to be good.
Who is the Neil Diamond impersonator. It's an amazing story. It really is. So I'm hoping to get Greg on here before Christmas. That's when the movie opens.
What about Hugh?
Well, I'd love to get Hugh on. Yes, we'll try that. We have a better shot at Craig Brewer, who is the director, because I've got a request out for him. I'd love to have Hugh, believe me.
Yeah,
if
okay.
anyone could do it, Fred.
Hey, we can
I
try.
Totally agree with that.
We can try.
Totally agree with that. And then, for those of us in the generation of which Mark and I are part, and Fred-ish, 42 years ago today, in 1983, this debuted on MTV.
It's supposed to be. It's weird that it was the beginning of December when they aired this, right?
Yep.
Yeah, they missed the Halloween.
Yep.
Interesting. Ethan, you've heard this one, right?
Time or two.
There you go.
Have you seen the video?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I freaking love this video. In fact, the last 2 years, I've gone back around Halloween time and I've watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
Good.
It's like 30 minutes long, isn't it? It's super long.
Oh, dude. Again, we had to
maybe it's 15. It's really long.
A lot of the beginning of this.
And what's the deal? Vincent Price, he lived here, right?
Yes. He was here for some period of time. I'd have to look that up.
Yeah.
That's a good history of the Louis Sue. I need to find somebody on that one.
Right.
Anyway, this debuted on MTV 42 years ago today.
Well, I remember that too.
Right?
Watching it on MTV.
It's just a big deal. All right, now I've got young Ethan in here, busy man that he is, because I wanted to talk about the second half of, the final season of Stranger Things, and he watched it. Are you finished?
I finished, yes.
And it came out.
Came out Friday, didn't it?
On
Wednesday?
Thanksgiving, day after Thanksgiving,
yeah.
wasn't
yeah,
it?
Friday.
And they're really smart in doing that. Okay, now Mark and I, after the season four, were like, really? Yeah, I think it dragged out. What do you think of five?
Pretty good so far. There's a couple of things that you're kind of like, okay. But overall, I think that they've done a pretty good job with it. And I'll say this too. You know, with a season as big as this, the amount of anticipation that they're has been for it. I love that they did not just throw out all 8 episodes at once.
It's smart.
Because
it really is.
With how long these episodes are, and these first ones weren't, they probably averaged like 70 minutes. They weren't really that long compared to what the next 4 are going to be.
Okay.
But it's going to be really difficult for people that to be able to just watch these quickly, I think. You know, just your average, typical busy person, right?
Yeah.
So doing it like this, you know, the next, I think, portion will release on Christmas.
Yeah.
Yes.
You give
Christmas
people
Day.
Several weeks to catch up. and get ready for the final few episodes. I think it's really smart.
Let me ask this question. I heard from my friend Rich Christmer last night. We talked TV a lot. I'm watching the show Pluribus on Apple TV Plus, and I'm so confused by that. That's the Vince Gilligan show. Oh. But he said this. He says, last night he texted me. He goes, watch episode one of the new season of Stranger Things. It was very good, but I was totally lost. Sadly, I'm going to have to reinvest in season four before investing the time, which neither of us have, his wife. So I do know this, and I don't know if you did this, but if you go to the episodes on Netflix,
yes.
You go to the very bottom. You
it
have to
will
go,
tell you.
There's a recap, and it's a longer recap
video. It's like 5 minutes.
Right. That's probably what you need to watch before you watch the new season. If you don't have time to watch all of it. Because it's not just like a 60-second recap. It's longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought that was nice of them to put out so you could get up.
Crowd didn't like
season it. Season 5, 6 off is Christmas Day, and then the finale lands on the 31st. So we'll see.
Did the kids look
I
young
asked him
still?
This yesterday. He said they're 30.
There is only one of the characters that I think it's kind of like gimmicky, and that's Will. Because if you know Will, throughout it, he has a tendency to get pretty emotional and get upset.
Yes.
And now it just looks like it's an adult crying like a kid. Everyone else, it really still works for in large part. Like, okay, you're 18, you're a senior in high school or whatever. But he's the one that you're kind of like, okay, Joyce, Winona Ryder's kind of babying him still. It's like, he looks like an adult.
Yeah.
But besides that, really, it doesn't bug me much.
I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
You can
tell me how it is. I don't know if I can do it.
You're going to take a stand and you're not going to do it?
I don't know. Okay. My favorite character is Steve. So I might go back for Steve.
He's great. He's great as always.
And he's Joe, too.
Oh,
DJ. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I like his music. Yeah. I do.
All right. During the winter, this story is for Fred. Well, all of us, really. But during the winter, the U.S. Department of Energy says you should set your thermostat to 68 degrees when you're awake.
Oh, and can I have that story when you're done?
Uh-huh.
I want to take that home.
You could take this home. I am at 68 degrees at our house, but I know, aren't you warmer than that, Mark Reardon?
Look, we have a little fight. I try to pop it down like I did yesterday, but 70 is generally where we have it, but then 67 at night.
Ethan, you get heat from above and below, so
yeah,
you're good.
Yeah, but we've been at 67, but when we leave, we turn it down a little bit.
That's
and turn
good.
It back up. We have a space heater that goes, and I had like a fire last night, so we haven't really had to rely on it very much.
I'm sorry, Fred, I was going to interrupt
you. No, I snuck it up 1 degree
52
last night.
52 now?
No, from 63 to 64.
Oh,
hey!
My God!
Didn't say a word.
Wow, really?
We're going to start
did
a GoFundMe.
Did she switch it back, though?
Yeah. I haven't looked.
Oh, my gosh, Fred.
Fred, that is cold.
Fred, that is cold.
Do you have a heated blanket?
Good question.
Marie bought me a heated blanket.
Good.
I haven't used it yet because
they're pretty awesome.
So I had two sweaters on last night.
Oh my gosh.
You
why use
two
use
sweaters,
it?
But you don't use the heated
yes,
blanket.
Yes, thank
a
you,
hat
Ethan.
And a scarf.
Give it a shot.
All right.
And a hat and a scarf. Oh my goodness.
Gosh. It's your own house.
I imagine Fred having like those one piece pajamas like Ebenezer Cruz would have had on with the hood.
It's amazing you don't get more sick.
No. Temperature.
That's
he's
not how
fine.
You get sick,
that's not,
Dr.
Ethan.
63?
Viruses.
Nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it. Your grandma told you go outside with your hair wet, you're going to get sick. It's not how it works.
No. And when
whatever.
Okay. The U.S. Department of Energy also says when you're asleep or out of the house, of course, you should drop it lower. But this will conserve energy but save you some serious money on utility bills, especially since they have climbed 41% since 2020. 41%. Wow. But listen to this. Here's a fun factoid. The lower the temperature inside your home, the more slowly you'll lose the heat. So the higher it is, the faster it goes out, but the lower it is. So, Fred, she's got reasoning behind it, but I'd plug in that blanket and hope for the best.
Get those Bernie Sanders mittens, too.
That's right. So keeping the thermostat at 68 really should pan out for you. All right. By the way, the Oxford Dictionary's word of the year for 2025 is rage bait. Of course, I hate it. They define it as online content deliberately designed to elicit anger or outrage by frustrating, provocative, or offensive stuff. They also say that it was one of three words. Biohacking almost made it, but didn't. By the way, of course, you realize that rage bait is two words, and that drives me nuts. The other finalist was Aura, A-U-R-A farming, which is impressive, attractive, charismatic persona online. But rage bait won. All right, finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. Oh, this is weird. JonBenet Ramsey was born 9 days before Jennifer Lawrence. JonBenet was born in 1990. Jennifer Lawrence a couple days later. So JonBenet would have turned 35 this year. Isn't that weird to think about?
That is a little weird. That was a big story back then. Yep. I guess it continues to be a big story. We're going to talk about the American Revolution and how much that Ken Burns documentary got right coming up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Well, Sue, I was 11 years old in 1976, and I remember the bicentennial. And, you know, I've spoken quite fondly of next year and looking forward to the celebration. One of the reasons I was very worried about Kamala Harris being in the White House, because I'm proud of this country and I love my country, and I think we should celebrate. Now, as part of that, I was very curious about Ken Burns' new documentary, The American Revolution, and I finished it over the weekend. Fred's a little behind. I got ahead of him because he went on that vacation. The problem is I don't know how much to trust. I thought it was fascinating, and in some of the details in this documentary I was unaware of or I had forgotten, but I know how woke Ken Burns is. Hell, he came in the aftermath of Ferguson and delivered a commencement at Wash U and was, you know, about as woke as they come. So I'm aware of his politics. And, you know, when you watch these things now, you have to worry about how much is overlapping. So I'm disappointed just because I don't really know the answer to that, because I'm not, you know, the expert on, right, on history. But here's what we're going to do here this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with a history professor that knows a little bit about this and wrote about it, and maybe find out some of the things that were wrong. Adam Rowe is an assistant professor of history at the New College of Florida and wrote a piece about this called The Incoherence of Ken Burns, The American Revolution. Professor Rowe, how are you this afternoon? Thanks for coming on 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis.
Hi, Mark. I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me. Glad to be with you.
I really, you know, overall, I did enjoy the documentary. And some of the things, you know, you just kind of shake your head and you think, how did they get, 60 tons of weapons and cannons 850 miles and surprise the British? And all this stuff about Benedict Arnold was amazing because he was one of our greatest American heroes in the war. And then, obviously, he turns and fights for the British. But one of the things that you wrote that I agreed with is this has three narratives that are overlapping. And you wrote it this way. You said one is the traditional military history of the war for independence. The second is the story of American slaves struggling to realize their own freedom, a struggle that sometimes aligned them with the patriot cause and more often arrayed them against it. And the third is the story of Native Americans fighting to maintain their sovereignty as a new nation emerges. So, and that's all true, because it did seemed to me that those three stories were being told at the same time, and there were parts of the American Revolution story, maybe for me, most importantly, Ben Franklin's role, which I guess he did a whole documentary about, that were kind of left out of the equation in favor of some of the other narrative. Does that make any sense, what I just said?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, and I don't know if you had this experience watching the documentary, but it kind of, you know, it ping-pongs back and forth so rapidly from admiration to kind of contempt. And it's trying, like, it tries to move you in one moment and then kind of shock you in the next, and it's a bit disorienting. And I think it kind of reflects Ken Burns' own his own kind of ambivalence and those of his ideological persuasion.
Well, I think, you know, for me, by episode two, I you knew it was coming, right? So you kind of prepare yourself for the moment. It's always George Washington did this. We wouldn't have a country without George Washington, but he brought a slave with him. So there's all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's a big stain on our nation. And I'm not trying to act like it doesn't play a role in what happened 250 years ago. But, this is where you get into a trust issue. I talk about media trust and media bias all the time. If someone wades into this that wants to learn about the American Revolution, the birth of our great nation, are they getting a portrayal in this documentary that is fair? Maybe fair is the right question to ask there. And your opinion of that is what?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that's right. That it's not, nothing in the documentary that I saw was factually wrong. Sometimes it could be a little bit misleading, but never just. I did not catch a single gross factual error.
Right.
But I think, I mean, but the like the, as I said in the piece, it's not really about the American Revolution. There's a history of kind of the military, a war of independence, and then of course of the struggle of slaves and of Native Americans. But you don't get much about the kind of the immense kind of political transformation of the country during that time. I mean, there's kind of references to it throughout Sprinkle, but it's not really about that, which is surprising to me, actually.
Well, I think that was surprising to me as well. But you know, what happens, at least my experience was, it still captivated me because with the animation and the drawings and the recreations, and they show, because you sit there and you say to yourself, and I'm still going to say, how the hell did we win this thing, right? I mean, everything was going against us, and somehow we still managed to, you know, boot them over across the pond, which obviously there were a lot of things happening on the planet that coincided with this, and that's why France plays a role and Spain. But it really is amazing that if for not a few things falling into place, we probably wouldn't be here having the freedoms that we have today.
Yeah, and it does convey that very well, and I think it does do a good job of conveying just how indispensable Washington was in keeping a continental army together, not going for broke when risking his army, but then also being able to strike it just at the exact right moment. The military history of it, it's quite good. And the fact that really jumped out at me that I didn't know before was that the casualty rate the Americans inflicted on the British at Bunker Hill was the highest they'd ever sustained in any war until the Battle of the Somme in World War I. So outdid anything Napoleon was able to inflict.
It really is amazing when you think about it, and you know, it makes your brain hurt because and this is where you get to a situation that we are in 2025 or even in my entire life where you're living pretty comfortably and you have all these modern conveniences. Even when I was a kid, I mean, I had black and white TV, but that was still pretty nice compared to previous generations. And the sacrifices that these men made and they're away from their families, the sacrifices that the women make and the way that it kind of all comes together. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more to your point about the differences between the colonies, because obviously the colonies were not all in agreement on how to, you know, solve these problems.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have to wait maybe for another documentary on that. But you would agree, Professor, that this may be a different documentary, maybe, that Ken Burns would have made if the last 10 years didn't include Ferguson, George Floyd, and Donald J. Trump.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, I was, you can just imagine what was going through his mind when things like, I mean, you know, we've forgotten some of the stuff, some of the craziness, but like, I mean, Nike withdrew a shoe, recalled a shoe that had the Betsy Ross flag, which just, that was just the Patriot flag, because it was a symbol of white supremacy back in 2019. You know, and this is while he's preparing the documentary. And you have the 1619 Project of the New York Times. And so I think he really was, you know, now we kind of see things kind of calm down a little, but when he was making this documentary, I mean, it seemed like the country was kind of going crazy on some of this stuff.
You
I think
said,
that definitely affected it.
You wrote this, and I thought this was interesting, and you were kind of responding to a quote by Thomas Jefferson, but you said, What is it? Which is it? We advance by the light of the ideals established by the founders, or we see the founders by our own lights as the architects of another feeble despotism that we ourselves must overcome. And I think that that question seems to be tilted in the direction of the latter, according to Ken Burns and a lot of the folks that may, you know, be watching this documentary. There's no doubt he's trying to, you know, frame this narrative around what we're still experiencing in this country. And that's fair. He's a documentary maker. He can do the narrative that he wants. But that's where, you know, it kind of got a little predictable after a while, because he kept going back to the same well on that, maybe a little bit too much for my liking.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think, I mean, you know, the way that I learned history, even as a graduate student in mainstream institutions, is like that the American Revolution kind of establishes these democratic values that didn't exist previously, and that, like slavery, for example, there is no kind of widespread anti-slavery movement prior to the American Revolution anywhere in the world. Slavery has existed, you know, throughout human history. It's never come in for a kind of a mass political and ideological attack, and it's the revolution that kind of starts that. And it's not that Burns completely misses that, but it's just not. It's you know, if you blink, you'll miss it in the documentary, that you don't get a sense of just how much our own kind of horror of slavery is itself a product of the revolution.
You know, I'm kind of ready to press go, just because, and I've watched it maybe a couple of times, but you know, the way that maybe he did baseball first, but you know, one of the ways that Ken Burns came on to the mainstream American media watchers was through the Civil War, which I think we all thought was a great documentary. And I don't, you know, I kind of want to watch that again, and I think I will, just to see if I detect significant tone differences in that documentary, you know, compared to this one.
Yeah, I mean, I it's been a year since I've seen it, but one thing that I think is interesting is that most people who watch that today are still like it. You know, the best thing in it is Shelby Foote, the Southern historian who wrote a Civil War trilogy. And of course, he would be, if Ken Burns, like among the academic historians he interviews, they wouldn't participate if it would included his Shelby Foote commentary anymore, because he has a sort of Southern. His sort of Southern sympathy for the Confederacy is completely counterbalanced, you know, by other historians, but it's included in a way that I think today he just wouldn't include that at all.
So I think I answered my question. It was rhetorical. That would have been a very different documentary had you had you know, a different experience in the last 15 years. Well, listen, thanks for writing about it. Thanks for jumping on here with me in St. Louis, Professor Adam Rowe. Really appreciate it.
All right, thanks. Pleasure talking to you, Mark.
I just showed Sue the video of the Giants kicker just literally missing the football on a field goal attempt last night.
And he just hit the ground.
Yeah, like by several inches. Here's the play-by-play.
47-yard try now by Younghoe, and he stumbled. Gillen gets swallowed up. Patriots ball.
It's a little difficult on the radio for those of you who haven't seen this, but if you Google it, you know, Giants kicker misses the football. He kicked. Now, there is a little bit of an explanation for this if you're looking for one. There's a guy that broke it down on YouTube, and that's the video that I just showed you.
It's pretty
good.
The
snap was bad, right?
Yeah.
So I would almost compare it, and I don't know if this is a fair assessment, but sometimes, for example, if you're hitting a golf ball and you put the golf ball on the tee and then maybe the ball falls off the tee, right? Well, you're swinging. Well, your brain's going to stop. You see the ball fall off the tee, and your brain is going to react to that, right? In this particular case, the snap wasn't good. The ball was kind of tilted a little bit, and what I think happened, there's only two possibilities, okay? He had money on the game.
Yes.
Or, and you know what? You almost have to mention that just because of these scandals.
That's what I was going to ask you. How much would you have looked at this before you knew about the scandals?
Probably not as closely.
Exactly.
But, I mean, it was such a weird thing where his foot is maybe 2 feet behind the ball, and he kicks the turf.
I would do that, but I'm not a professional football
player. The options are he had money on the game, or he just a massive screw-up. But this is almost like, and I'm surprised this doesn't happen, and I don't want it to happen, but I am amazed, as a fan of professional golf, that no one has been whacked in the head or killed. You know, they're lining
golf ball
right along. Yeah, where these guys drive. That no one, you know, professional, they're good, right? But that no one's had a moment where, oops, we've sliced the ball and we've hit a fan, right? But this is kind of tantamount to that. That's how drastic his miss is.
Yeah, it's not it's not good. And he does show you in that video that the ball slips a little bit, but it's not enough by inches that he missed it. You know what I mean?
I think it's just his brain reacted to the ball not being in the spot.
That could
be. And
then
his foot's like, I can't kick that ball. Because if he would have tried to kick it, it probably would have been blocked, quite honestly.
Well, that's true, too.
The way it was in. All right, so I'm not going to play the entire exchange with Dylan Douglas. I played that yesterday. So this is interesting. You go back a couple weeks ago, I used this audio from Scott Jennings on one of the CNN panels with Abby Phillips. And he's just shredding this kid named Dylan Douglas. And I didn't know who the kid was. He's got a podcast out there. Good-looking young kid. You know, seems like he's relatively bright. But Jennings just smoked him, right? He gets into a discussion about the government shutdown. And he you know, unfortunately, Scott is more experienced and he brings the receipts. Well, what we didn't know at the time is that Dylan is the son of Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas.
Right.
And the story that came out over the last few days is they are pissed off. They're livid at CNN that they allowed this to happen, that they, you know, because Dylan was stuttering and it just wasn't a good moment. Now, Scott, because he's doing the book tour, you know, is on Meghan McCain's podcast. And two things about this. One, Meghan needs a new audio engineer because the audio sounds terrible. But they talk about this, and he's got a good line here at the beginning.
Well, I was surprised. I'm more than willing to apologize personally to Catherine Zeta-Jones over a nice seafood dinner if she wants to do it.
All right, I don't know if you heard it. Over a nice seafood dinner.
Yeah, I did.
I don't know what Michael would think about that.
Morticia Adams, I don't blame you. Hello.
I mean, honestly, well, first of all, I actually have to say, Dylan was actually really nice off the air. He was very nice. I think he was honored to be there. We had what is relatively a normal kind of exchange. He made his Democratic talking points. I dismantled him. This is not an uncommon thing that happens on CNN.
Jennings is very modest these days, yeah. Isn't he? I dismantled him, which is what I do.
I was as surprised as you are to see that his parents were upset about it. But, you know, I think what happens generally with some of these folks is they exist in a very tight little bubble.
Yes.
They never really talk to Republicans or conservatives. They don't really get outside of their, you know, bubble where everyone's telling them how smart and good looking they are. And then they wind up on television with someone of a different persuasion, and it is surprising to them. And so I hope Dylan comes back. I'm sure he'll get better at it.
He's being very nice. And
but he's right.
Yeah, he is right.
There's no doubt about it. And the kid's young, and you got to come really prepared and not with just your side's understanding and facts. You've got to know the actual facts.
Yeah, and unfortunately, sometimes that doesn't happen. I'm glad it all kind of came together because I didn't know that that was, you know, their son and them making it probably made it worse for them because now that they're out there complaining about CNN. By the way,
now mom and dad are mad.
You know what I did last Wednesday?
Huh?
I used my money to buy A Revolution of Common Sense, Scott Jennings' book, because I wanted the hard copy. I had a digital copy, but I wanted the hard copy, and I wanted him to sign it when he comes back into town. But books are not cheap these days, Sue.
Yes, I did. This is why I try not to buy the books anymore and go to the library for book club.
$34.
Yes,
$34.
Yes,
and nothing against Jennings or anything, but that it's not like, you know, the Iliad and the Odyssey thick.
No, it isn't. But that's your friend. You should buy it.
Of course. I want to. You know what he said? Because I sent the text out to he and Joe, and I said, something about buying the book. He goes, and I was, you know, bitching about the price. He goes, thanks, Biden. Got a point there. Prices are higher. All right, we're going to take a break. We had a great guest on that we'd never had on earlier this afternoon, Christian Twist, who writes at a website, and we were talking about Trump, and he gave a great shout-out to David Strom. David is one of our favorite guests from HotAir.com. He's up in Minneapolis. He's been writing a lot about the Tim Walz Somalia scandal. He knows all about that. We're going to get him on after Fox News. Steve Butz is going to join us at 5:30. He's running for the state Senate. He just picked up some endorsements from the St. Louis Police Officers Association and the St. Louis Firefighters. And, you know, they've started to pre-file bills in Jefferson City with the session just about.
A lot.
Yeah, a lot. Well, this is what they do. And, the session's only like 5 weeks away, which is kind of hard to believe. I think Christmas 3 weeks from Thursday?
Yes. And I heard this morning on the Mark Cox show that over 500 pre-bills have been turned in.
Yeah, there are a lot of them. So we'll get into that with Steve, and then we'll have audio cut of the day as well. It's all coming up here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.